All right, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to be bouncing around a lot of different places. The first place I want you to go is on page 837 in a church Bible. It's the book of Lamentations. In chapter 3, we'll look at verses 22 through 23 as I set the study here tonight. I like these kind of messages because I just kind of tell you what's going on, what the Lord has laid on me. I was really impressed to see how things have been going in the world recently with this young man's injury. It's amazing to me to see how willing people are to go back to some type of spiritual solution. We've been trained over the past 3 years, especially with everything that's going on medically, that all the solutions we need are in a vaccine, or they're in a mask, or they're in social distancing. And if we just do those things, we'll be okay. And folks, that could not be further from the truth. I mean, those things may do a little bit, but they do not solve all of our problems. And you're seeing right now people getting around, albeit he's a football player, but people are looking to ask God to do something. And I just have not seen that in a while on a public front. Say what you will about it, the context of it, what people really mean. I believe that whether Christ is preached or whether he's ridiculed, praise the Lord that he's talked about. And we need to be of that mindset. I think it's really easy for us to get pessimistic, to get in an echo chamber, to think that there's only one type of person that is able to be saved. That's not how the world works. We need to make sure that we're not in that kind of attitude, especially as we see the world responding to something. And I do mean the world. It's amazing to see how everything is rallied around this young man. But as I was thinking about what to bring to you this evening, I thought about a phrase that you see up here on the screen. New Year, same God. I'm sure you've heard that title before. I may have even made it a title in the past 2 years. I don't know. But going into my third year in the pastorate, I wanted to talk about some things that will be new every year, every day, and things that will stay the same regardless of what happens in the newness of the day. So I've got 5 points for each little category here. So we're just going to move at a nice pace. My point is not to necessarily dissect each passage, but to show you the things that are important to take away from them. So what'll be new this year? Well, the Lord's mercies and compassions. And that is also the first point in what will stay the same. His love for us does not change, but the way we experience that, it changes every day. I liked it when Tracy talks about her unspoken prayer request, that it moves her. It's personal to her. She's put her trust in the Lord to answer something, and she's received an answer, and that moves her. Do you want to know why? Because God is good, and she's experiencing that. And we can all experience those things every day in a new way. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 tells us this: it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. As a matter of fact, if you look just one verse before, in verse 20, it says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I'm sorry, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. If you read the whole chapter, which is the third lamentation in Jeremiah's weeping here, it's a very bitter chapter, how the Lord has put him in a place that's rough, has broken his bones, so to speak, has humbled him, has brought him to the point of shame. Of course, speaking about the nation of Israel at that time. And now to see, even in all that, his mercies are not void. His compassions are not empty. They're new for us every day. Number two, what will be new this year is your mind. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in verse number 2, this is on page 1206. Very good passage if you want to talk about how do you begin to think spiritually, how do you begin to grow in this new nature that you have, in this Holy Spirit-sealed life. Well, verse 2 tells us that, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, one of the things that I think paints a good picture of this is landscaping. If you have seen a place of business, I'll give you an example. You guys know, those of you who frequent Hillsborough Avenue, when COVID happened, the Golden Corral buffet shut down. And I mean, for all the things you say about the inside of Golden Corral and all the things that they do incorrectly there, I remember that Golden Corral went viral one time because someone had put meat to warm up outside on top of the dumpster. And I thought, that looks really familiar. You come to find out, yep, it was that one right there. But they at least kept the outside clean. Okay, so the grass was cut, the shrubbery was trimmed. But as soon as COVID happened, and the sign still says temporarily closed. I want to know how long temporary is. But the property now, there's graffiti on the property. It's overgrown. There's shopping carts and all sorts of trash everywhere. There's junk cars in the back. And it's just a totally different scene than what you had seen before. Renewing is a good example of cleaning up a piece of property. Okay, the contents, they stay the same, but the presentation of them, how they're interpreted by others, changes. Your mind should be renewed every single day, and the way that you renew your mind is not by clearing it. It's not by word prophecy, which is a modern movement today where Christians are advised to clear their mind and then think on one word and then manifest the things of that word. And that's nowhere in the scripture. It's everywhere in Eastern mysticism. But you can't find it in the scripture. As a matter of fact, we're to dwell on spiritual things, dwell on things in heaven, not on things here in the earth. But the renewing of your mind comes by memorization and application of the word. And the only way that you can do that is by reading it and applying it. That's a new opportunity for you this year. It's new because of what we're going to get to in point number three. But I don't want you to just see this here. I want you to see something in Psalms chapter 51. You can let Romans go here. We're still talking about your mind being new this year, the things that you learn from God's word matched with your circumstances. You'll be able to apply them in new situations. But in Psalms chapter 51, we have here in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If you do want to pray a prayer this year that you want to pray not repetitively in the moment, but you pray it each day, pray this, that you would have a right spirit within you every day. The reason why we should pray these things, my friends, is because you have a nature within you that is set against the things of God, and you've been walking in that nature for years, much longer than you have been saved. That nature is naturally strong. It is the flesh nature, and it is directly opposed to the things of God. If you think you are strong in your flesh to walk in the Spirit, you're deceived. The flesh will win every time. As a matter of fact, you'll begin to say the things of the devil are things of God. It's a very easy thing to do when you're trying to walk in your own strength. Instead, we need to die to ourselves, as Galatians chapter 2 tells us, and live unto Christ. And what a wonderful opportunity it is to do so. We've talked about the Lord's mercies and compassions that are new. We've talked about how our mind can be new. Number three is our circumstances. Things that you have faced on the fourth day of this year may have been totally different than what you faced in all the 365 of last year. Number four, people are going to be new. And I just want to say this to make sure that everybody understands that this may happen to at least one of us here this year. We're going to gain people and we're going to lose people. That's a guarantee. Somebody in this ministry will lose somebody. Someone will pass away. Someone will walk away from the faith. These things are things that we need to be prepared for so that when they happen, we can continually go to the Lord. But that may be a new thing. We need to be prepared for that. And the fifth thing under this category of what will be new is the trials that we face. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. This is an encouragement about the trials that we'll face. As you grow, you will come under more attack because you are no longer being strong in your flesh, but you're walking strong in the Spirit. You become a threat to the demonic presences around you. I don't think it's a coincidence that every time we make a technological advancement here, there's hours and hours that is spent on fixing something that went wrong. We just started going live on YouTube, and we just started doing that after we spent literally from the time that Kyla and I were in the hospital for Remy's adoption, all the way up until last week, we were solving problems that just came up for the first time. Problems that you look at it and you say, I have no idea what this is or how to fix it. But all of those things have led to, we've added a new opportunity to get people in front of the gospel. So the trials are going to come, and they're going to get harder, but it's to refine you as gold is refined. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 7, we're encouraged on page 1311, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, it's going to be intense, it will be uncomfortable, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why is it important that the appearing of Jesus Christ is mentioned here? Because that's when the believer will be rewarded, at least the church age believer. You and I, as we wait for the Lord's return, the moment that we are with him will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be rewarded for all the profitable things that we did, and the unprofitable things will receive their reward. They'll both be tried with fire, and one will last and the other won't. There's stuff to do. We're not supposed to just sit around and get spiritually fat and lazy. That's not how we should live the spiritual life. Trials refine you. It's the same thing with muscle growth. The muscle has to tear, and that lactic acid has to work so that as it heals, it comes back stronger. Without that tearing and without that, I don't want to say damage because it's not damage, but that stress that's put on the muscle, it doesn't grow. You need to be refined. So as you walk into 2023, be ready for the difficulties. If you're not prepared, they're going to take you by surprise and they're going to put you on your rear end. You're not going to do anything for the Lord. And that's not God's fault. He didn't give you something that's too much. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we have a way to escape everything that we're given. So what will stay the same this year? Let's look at that. Number one, your eternal state. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, in verses 9 through 11. Page 1201. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's not going to change. You have the new nature within you, which will quicken you at the day of the rapture or at the day when your new body is given to you. The eternal state doesn't change regardless of the new things, the circumstances and trials that we go through. Our salvation is still secure. And even further than that, you've already been translated from right now here on earth. You are already accounted for into eternal life. Do you know you're living your eternal life right now? I'm going to show you that in Colossians chapter 1. This is on page 1262. Colossians chapter 1. Paul's writing a very heartfelt prayer in the first chapter here, starting from verse 9 all the way through unto verse 19. But the prayer that he prays hits a chord on verse 13, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and he says this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And then there's a statement that he says there, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. By the way, the important thing grammatically there is hath. This has already been done. You, at the moment of your conversion, which is when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you had biblical repentance, which is to change your mind, you were moved, okay, from death into life. And as a part of that moving, that's God justifying you under the blood of Christ. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So you've been moved now from you're condemned to die, you get the blood of Christ applied by faith in Christ, you're now moved from that death to life, and there's a translation that happens there into where you are placed in the kingdom of God already. That's not going to change. That's encouraging. That actually is one of the greatest deterrents when we're challenged to sin. Why would we want to sin if we're already living in a heavenly state? Why would we want to do that? But if you're living under the deception, if you're living under the lie that all you have here is the flesh, well, then you're going to do a disservice to your eternal rewards, to the Lord that loved you and bought you, and ultimately to yourself and those around you. Here's what else won't change: God's word. Look in Psalm 119, the largest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, Psalm page number 660. We're going to look there in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. God's word will not ever perish. He has put it above his own name. We have it here that we can read it and study it and apply it. That won't change regardless of what happens this year. And it's a wonderful encouragement, from at least for me as a Bible student, that this word can be trusted. It's something that is special. It's not a textbook written by a really smart guy. This is God's word that's been preserved so that I can read and understand it and apply it. Third thing that will stay the same this year is God's desire for the lost to believe. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Over there in the New Testament, close to the end of the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 on page 1319, we have a really interesting statement here by the Apostle Peter as he speaks on the mind of God towards all men. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." This is to say he's not lazy, he's not delaying, he has not returned because it has not been the proper time on his timetable. But instead of that, he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single person that is born into the world to come to repentance, to have a change of mind about what they're trusting in to get to heaven, to get to him, and to put their faith in Christ. That is a very unique position that we should know. Your desire for that person to get saved does not outweigh God's. You should be working in concert with him to lead that soul to Christ. I have seen people get in the way of the Lord's work to try and win an argument, to try and trump a person and say, "Oh, well, hey, how about this?" That should not be the attitude when we're trying to reach people. We should be realizing the desire that I have, God has that desire even more for this person to get saved. Now, what can I do to accomplish that? That should be the attitude that we approach this with. God's desire for the lost to believe is not going to change. For the sake of time, we won't look at some of these passages, but I do want to get to these last few points here. Number four under what's going to be the same this year is your responsibility to share the gospel message. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 4 talks about that we've been put in trust with the gospel message. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19 says, "We should therefore, because of Christ's ministry of reconciliation, we should now be ministers of reconciliation." And for a definition of that, this is what reconciliation means. If this is point A and this hand here is point A and this hand here is point B, the PowerPoint remote here is something that is in the way of these two things coming together. Reconciliation is the removing of this out of the way so that these can be together. Okay, so let this hand represent you and me. This hand represents the Lord. Here's our sin. Our sin separates us from God. The ministry of reconciliation was done by the Lord. He sent Jesus, a satisfactory, substitutionary payment for our sin. He shed his blood. And when you believe, the ministry of reconciliation occurs. This sin, which was in the way, has now been removed. The blood of Christ has been applied. So when it says you should be ministers of reconciliation, you go out introducing people to that ministry of reconciliation. That makes sense? You want a job title? You're a minister of reconciliation. You want a title that you can put on your Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Hulu, Plus Live, whatever? Guess what? You're an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 gives us that example. We are ambassadors for Christ. And then finally, the fifth thing under what will be the same this year is your responsibility to grow in grace. We're already in 2 Peter. So look there at the end of chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. We have a responsibility to grow in grace. Yes, every believer is supposed to grow. It's expected of you. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There is a way for you to fall from being steadfast. You don't pay attention. You don't rightly divide the word. You avoid it altogether. Verse 18 continues off that and says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 in verse 58. We talked about that word steadfastness. We have a good example here of steadfastness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, page 1228. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Chapter 3 talks about how that labor is not in vain, because Jesus will reward you for the profitable things that you do. I don't know if you guys saw that video that was floating around this winter about a guy who tried, he didn't know of this snowman that was in the yard was actually covered, it was snow that was covering bricks. And the guy tried to run it over with his car. I just saw this clip the other day. And you're like, who would have thought that that snowman was steadfast and unmovable in the Lord, in the work of the Lord? Always abounding. And it was even in a movie that I saw this past Christmas as a joke. And when I saw it in real life, I was like, wow, people really do the dumbest things sometimes. But this is not for the world to see your stand. This is to stand strong for the Lord. The world may not even recognize your stand. You still do what's right. That responsibility doesn't change. And then here's some parting encouragements from the Scripture. Number one, give the gospel. Number two, give thanks. Number three, don't quench the Spirit. Number four, pray without ceasing. Number five, love one another. We really need to do that now. We need to love one another. There's already enough going on in the world. We shouldn't be hating our own body of Christ. And the last thing I'll encourage you with is in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Look up, because Jesus is coming soon. And let me tell you right now, that's going to take a lot of people by surprise. I hope you're not one of them. I hope you're not so busy living for you that when the Lord comes back, you go, oh, that's right. I hope it doesn't take you by surprise. I mean, we don't know when it's going to happen. But look for him every day. These are encouragements to you as you get ready to go through whatever God is going to ask you to go through this year. You can close your Bibles as we get to the gospel illustration. You know, this time last year, my wife and I were getting ready to be foster parents. We were ready to do the licensing. We had already found an agency. We had already gotten the dates that we needed to go to these four Saturdays in a row, 8 hours a day to get 24 hours worth of training. Went on vacation, came back, and the next thing you know, we find out someone has sponsored us for adoption. had no idea at the end of 2021 that we're going to have a little baby in our home permanently in November or on December 1st. Had no idea. It was our heart's desire, and we asked the Lord that His will would be done. And I praise the Lord for it. What's this year going to bring? I don't know, but I can tell you this. God's faithfulness, that'll be here. His love, that's not going anywhere. You can trust Him. And sometimes it's a process to learn how to trust Him. But don't be afraid of that process. You're not leaning on something that won't hold you up. And He loves you more than what you would say to your husband or your wife or what you say to your kids. He loves you in a perfect love, and He will care for you. I'm going to let this hand represent you and me, and my wallet represent sin. I put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now God, He loves us, but He hates our sin because our sin separates us from Him. In order to get to heaven, we have to be perfect, just like God, but we all fall short. That's the very definition of sin, to miss the mark. The mark being perfection. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. But God loves us, and He wants to provide a way for that to be escaped, and He has through His Son, Jesus Christ. What He has not accepted is our good works, our form of religion, our form of trying our best to get to His standard by making our own works worthy to be paid for sin. The wages of sin is death. Good works is absent from that equation. This hand is going to represent Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, born of a virgin, fully God and fully man. Now, as I said before, God loves us so much that He'd rather die than live without us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross to take all of our sin that so easily beset us. He put it on Him. He paid for it. The payment was accepted when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." He died. He was buried 3 days later to prove that that sin was paid for. And now the offer is open to all in the entire world and applied to those who believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The free gift of everlasting life is made available by faith in Jesus Christ. Once you put your faith in Him, you are now adopted into God's family. You're justified. His blood has been applied for the forgiveness of your sin. You're moved out of darkness into light. You're translated from death into life. There's never going to be condemnation placed on you. You've got a new home. You have a new heavenly Father. You have spiritual blessings. The Holy Spirit seals and indwells you. We could get into part two of the message right here. All these wonderful truths that happen upon the moment of belief. The question is, will you believe? Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? I can't do it for you. God won't do it for you. He's given each man free will so that they could all be accountable to make this decision on their own. The facts are overwhelming. Seeking you will find. Yes, you'll find. But what would you do with what you find? That's the important thing. You put your faith in Christ, He gives you eternal life. You put your faith in yourself, you'll be eternally separated from Him forever in hell. It's not my job necessarily to convince you to the moment of belief. It's to put those facts there so that you can see what has been offered. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, Facebook, Sermon Audio, the Calvary website, or those of you who are here in the audience, if it makes sense tonight for the first time, maybe you've been thinking about it for a while, would you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to pay for your sin? The moment that you do that, you're saved. If that makes sense, you're watching here on the internet, would you let us know? Just send us an email, leave a comment. We will pray for you. And right where you're sitting, you can also believe on Jesus Christ. And if you did, I'd like to know. I'm not going to come and tap your shoulder or have you walk down the aisle or anything like that. You can do this right where you're sitting. Would you just raise your hand and let me know, Pastor, that makes sense. I put my faith in Christ. Anyone else before we close tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. I want to encourage you this evening to rest on the things that never change about God and to face the newness of this year, whether it's good or bad, leaning on Him. Father, thank You for Your word. Bless the choir practice to follow. Thank You for the opportunity that we have here at Calvary Community Church. I pray that we would be aware as believers of these opportunities and to capitalize on them, to win souls or encourage believers. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things.